Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, August 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2025, and this is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast today. I pray you are well, and if you're not feeling well, let's see if there's something we might be able to do about that over the next several minutes. So let's do this. Let's begin, as is our custom and practice here on the podcast. We begin by calling forth a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude toward God. And to put that into practice, we start with a big, deep breath. And you hold on to that breath. Savor it. And then let it go. And then take in another one, another gift, the gift of life, the breath of life, given to you in this moment by God. And as you inhale and exhale, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and opportunities that fill you with joy, that lights you up inside, those things that you can easily name and number as gifts, treasures. And as you call these things to mind, perhaps open your arms wide, turn your face toward the sky and give thanks to God. In this posture and in this spirit, let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. Guard yourselves from all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. We come seeking the riches that last, wisdom, grace, and the love of God. The one who stores up treasure for self is not rich toward God. We turn our hearts to heaven, trusting in the one who gives life in abundance. Let us worship the God who provides, who calls us to live with open hands and generous hearts. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich toward God."
Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, we call out to you. We pray and we give you thanks. We thank you, O God, for the gift of this, your good and living word, a word of inspiration, a word of caution and encouragement. And we pray as we take some time and we pay some attention to this word, we pray that you will calm us, calm our minds, open us up to what it is you're saying to us in this moment. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction so that we could truly hear and respond to this good and living word. We pray this in your holy name and we say, Amen. Friends, here at the beginning of August, in the heat of the summer, we are blessed with this wonderful reading from Luke's Gospel, this parable of the rich fool. At least that's what it's called in the Bible I'm looking at right now. This story of Jesus who has turned his face toward Jerusalem and all that awaits them there, and the urgency of the teaching that we see as he and the disciples make this journey. Last week he taught on prayer, and he teaches wisdom, he offers warning, and he's trying to create urgency and a sobriety, an awakeness, a clarity as to who he is, why he's come, and why the message is important. On this particular day, in front of this crowd, someone in that crowd has a request of him. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Jesus ruminates on that question, that request. And Jesus said to this person in the crowd, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" This sounds like family business. This sounds like something that you and your brother need to work out. And I can't help but wonder if this particular person in the crowd was standing next to the brother that he has this issue with. And rather than call them forward and hash it out Dr. Phil style in front of the crowd, he doesn't do that. He tries to help the crowd understand his purpose for coming and teaching. And still, in his way, he addresses the request that this someone in the crowd has made. So he takes the request, he responds, and then to the audience gathered there, he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." That's worth reading again and again and again. It could be something that you would want to practice as a divine reading, Lectio Divina. Go ahead and find it in a Bible, or go ahead and print off the digital bulletin and highlight this portion of verse 15. Let's read it again. Maybe I can illustrate what I mean. "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Prayerfully read, we'd read it again. "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." One more time. "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Why read it that way? Because in reading and rereading and reading again and pausing and then noticing certain words that lift themselves off the page into your critical mind, you more fully receive what the word is offering you. You're putting them into practice while you're reading them. As you read, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Simply by paying attention to the words and repeating the words, you're putting them into action. I've read them enough now that they're starting to circulate around in my mind, and so when the time of preaching and teaching is done, when this time of prayer and reflection is over, and then I go out into the world, and in my own way, I say, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." In response, somewhere in my spirit, I hear, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And having read that now many times, I'll tell you what's jumping at me. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. But Jesus continues to bless them and bless us. Let's carry on to verse 16. "Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly." Oh, there's that word again. "And he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops.' And then he said, 'I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods.'" He's a smart man. Somehow he's been able to put together a fair amount of wealth, as the parable says. And this year in particular, by good fortune, great weather, the team all working together, there's an abundance, like a crazy abundance, so much that the barns that are usually sufficient aren't big enough. "And so what will I do? I'll tear it all down and I'll build even bigger ones. And it'll be so great because there'll be so much stuff, I can retire. And I don't have to worry about this farming stuff anymore. I'm good. And I'll say to my soul, 'You have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. I don't know about you, but on a hot day in August, that all sounds pretty nice. And this isn't a sermon against relaxing or eating or drinking and being merry. It's about first things. Because in all the planning, which isn't bad, there's an abundance. Something needs to be done with it. We can't let it rot in the field. We don't want to squander it. So to this man's way of thinking, the way his disposition is, how he solves problems, the way he engages with the world, "I'll build these big barns, I'll have a lot of stuff." Perfect plan. Except, as the story goes on, God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Not yours. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. All the great plans we have, all of this success, how wonderful. And in the blink of an eye, it can all be gone. Many of us have experienced something like this firsthand, or you certainly have seen stories of it. The best laid plans, a retirement plan, is someday I can rest. Someday. If we just do this, 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 and this, and I have this airtight plan, and on this date I retire, and then a week after that, I'm lining up a putt and I drop dead on the golf course. And all the opportunities I had along the way to celebrate and give thanks, the times that I was laying up stores for some day. It's a sobering story. It's a hard one to read sometimes, and we can draw the lessons off it. There are some low-hanging fruit here about possessions and holding on loosely to those things, and those are all great lessons. But in terms of some level of spiritual growth, how we can engage with this text in a way that changes us and perhaps guards us against the fate that meets the one in this parable, because at some level we're all this fool. Maybe it goes back to the Lectio Divina, the divine reading, the repetition of Jesus warning, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. What if the rich landowner whose land produced abundantly, what if he'd been praying? What if he'd been engaged in that divine and inspired reading of Scripture? That every day for the month, during the time of planting and tending the land on this particular year of abundance, what if every day he'd reflected on this meditation, be on your guard? He'd come before God, help me to be on my guard against all kinds of greed, for I know my life doesn't consist on however this crop comes out. God, help me. And then one day he's in the office on this particularly wonderful year, and a knock on the door comes in, and it's one of his chief advisors, and he says, you know, I know you can tell by looking at the fields. This is going to be a great year, sir. And we're going to need to think about what to do with the abundance of these crops, because the way I'm calculating it, we don't have enough storage space. This will be the best year we've ever had. And it rings in his ear, the meditation he's been praying day after day, week after week, as he hears his advisor talk about the abundance that's coming. And he feels the inklings of selfishness and self-service, the pride that comes with this bumper crop. But then, to push that aside, he hears, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. And the attendant, this chief number one, looks at his master and says something. What, sir? You seem lost in thought. What would you like me to do? How would you like me to advise the people? And he said, you know what? This is my parable on top of a parable. This rich landowner calls a meeting of the chief advisors and some of the key employees. And they gather together and he congratulates them on their work. And he says to them, friends, thank you so much for the hard work. And I have to let you in on something. You know, when I wander around the fields and it looks like I'm talking to myself, I'm actually praying. There's a passage that a friend taught me once, the teaching of a very wise and godly man. Some say he was the Son of God. And I've come to believe that that's true, know that that's true. He said once, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Friends, hard work, diligence, prayer, God's grace has provided this abundance. More than we can store in the barns, so I have a plan. Do any of you remember the old scripture that the Lord our God is one and we should love the Lord our God with everything we are, our hearts, minds, and soul, all our strength, and we should love one another as ourselves? Well, I hear this passage that I've committed to my heart, and I hear the teaching of the tradition saying this abundance is an opportunity to bless each and every one of us and our families and our communities. And they work out the plan and they begin to execute the plan. And that night, the man lays down his head and he dies. And in his passing, the question is answered. All the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? They'll belong to everyone in the community. They'll be blessed because the treasure, the earthly treasure, was not stored up, locked away. It was given away. And it was consumed. But what it brought, what it did for this man, what it did for everyone who received, is it put them in touch with the divine grace. It brought inspiration and encouragement. It helped people to see that the prayers that they offer, that the sacred texts that they considered as holy and life-affirming, have present and eternal value. It's a call to be rich toward God. It's a call to pay attention. That when we are blessed, when we receive the gift of enough, and maybe a little extra, that there's value beyond the ones and the zeros and the commas, beyond the possessions, the prizes. That if we are on our guard against all kinds of greed, when we put first things first, charity and compassion and hope and peace and love and joy, whatever riches we might procure for ourselves here and now are nothing compared to the treasure that we find in the heavenly places. They can never compare to the good news we find in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's tremendous good news, to which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God of Naomi and Ruth and Mary and Martha, God of disciples and apostles, God of the unnamed faithful, we call out to you and we pray. And we confess, God, that there are so many times that we are distracted by a thousand other things. And we don't put you first, and we do things we shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't say. There are times when we ought to do something and we fail to do it. There are times when we should speak up and we don't. In the words of the liturgies, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. But having named all that, God, we come to claim a promise that if we confess these things to you, if we come to you with broken spirits and contrite hearts, You will forgive us. You will anoint us with your grace. And so we ask, O God, anoint us with your grace. And we thank you. Any thanks we offer you would be insufficient. So humbly and simply we say thank you. We have so many prayer petitions, so many questions to ask you, so much we need, so many things we hope would change. We pray, O God, over this your good world. We pray over people in positions of power and influence, that they would use these positions to put your truth first in the lives of the people, in the societies, in the systems, in the governments that they're responsible for and to. And there are the things of everyday life, the people we meet on the street, the ones we encounter at the store or in traffic, any places that we're drawn together, the families down the block, you know these people, these places and these things, and we pray your healing mercies be poured out upon all of them. There are things that are very specific to us, God. Each and every one of us carry a list of joys and concerns, hopes and anticipations, disappointments and fears. Sometimes we write them down. We share them with friends, ask them to pray for us. You know this list. And so we take a moment during this time of prayer and reflection to be quiet and to hand you this prayer list. And as we hand it over to you, and as we stop talking for a minute, we pray that you'll meet us in this quiet moment. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to celebrate these gifts every day. We pray that you'd hear us as we join together in saying a prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples. Hear us, O Lord, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we do so with a renewed, heightened awareness of the abundance that we find in the life of faith, a life lived in the presence of God, the God we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.